Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 12th of November. I can't get that Rubber Ducky song out of my mind now. You know how things sort of... I have always loved that song, and I haven't heard it for so long. And now I was thinking about finding a recording and taping it to dance to it this afternoon. That would be fun. Well, we're going to have an open line this hour, and a chance for you to suggest shows, maybe even more fun shows. It's okay to have some fun. Healthcare shows, political shows, great books that you have read shows, great people you have met or heard shows. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is the number for you to call. And I should also tell you, we mentioned this, I don't mention it very often, but we are now on Facebook, and I'm kind of into Facebook these days. I don't think it's a passing fancy. I've been able to connect with a lot of people I haven't seen in years and years and years and have wonderful conversations with them. So just a reminder to you that we can talk to each other occasionally off the air. If you go to Facebook and we're on, you know, that WPR.org, and then look at the page and you'll see Kathleen Dunn. There's a list of all of us who are doing work here. Go to that, click, and then you can sign up. And we were asking actually for you to share your memories of favorite Sesame Street programs because of the first hour of today's show, but we can talk about anything, just about anything. So why don't you become a person who listens to the show and we'll talk more. Okie dokie, let's go to phone calls. Sherry from Superior is our first caller. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, I have a book or an author suggestion, Mel White. He has written a couple different books, but the one I just read is How to Be Gay and Christian in America. He has a really interesting personal story. He was raised in a fundamentalist household and struggled with his own homosexuality for years. Was married, had children, was tried to be cured, and then came out finally and is an advocate for gay rights. He was a ghostwriter for the religious right. Jerry Falwell was one for many years and produced Christian movies, all while living this very difficult, hidden life. And he would be just a fascinating guest, I think.
Is it a fairly new book, Sherry?
I'm sorry, I don't have the name of the book. I'm driving and I can't recall.
Oh yeah, don't. But it's new, is it, or is it an older book?
It's an older book. It's been out for a couple years.
Okay. Well, he sounds like a fascinating guest.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much for the call, Sherry. Brian is next from Barron. Hello, Brian.
It's Brian. Hi.
Oh, it's Brian. Hi, Brian.
I just wanted to suggest maybe a topic about chelation therapy. It's a way to prevent like hardening in your arteries and kind of get your cardiovascular system working again. Over in New Zealand, actually, a heart patient would have to receive 6 chelation treatments before the doctors performed open heart surgery. And this is considerably less cost than what our hundreds and thousands of dollars of open heart surgery would be. A good guest would be Dr. Waters or maybe some of his associates or nurses from his clinic in Wisconsin Dells.
What do you do? What is this?
It's an intravenous treatment, and it takes the toxins and out of your body and the plaque that builds up in your arteries and flushes your system.
Huh. And it's quite common in Australia.
Australia and New Zealand, correct.
Huh. That's interesting. All right, we'll look into it, Brian. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kathy from Oshkosh. Hi.
I'm sorry I don't have the voice to sing Rubber Ducky today.
Oh, we could sing it together. You would be okay. Isn't that, it's just caught my fancy. You know how songs.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it's.
And one of the things I remember, although I was not a watcher of Sesame Street regularly, was one day this little girl was so captivated by one of the characters, and she just threw her arms around him and said, "I love you."
Aww.
It was just so spontaneous. It,
oh.
it just, heartfelt.
Yes.
I'm interested in your having a program that explores the conditions of women in countries where we are fighting for their democracies. I agonize a lot over whether we should be in Iraq, Afghanistan, or anywhere else when half their population is subjugated, and question whether, indeed, if they were to establish a government that was democratic, what position women would take. I would also want this exploration on a domestic level. I know you had the story of Abigail Adams the other day, but there's another side to where women stand economically, particularly as single parents. I'm wondering where all these fathers are, if indeed that's a fair statement to make. Finally, a book that reflects that is set in pre-revolutionary America. It's called The Widow's War by Sally Gunning. And much like Abigail, she fought for her property rights when her husband was lost in a whaling mishap.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds great. Okay. Did you hear the show we did with Gail Collins a couple weeks ago?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I appreciate that women are recognized and the role that their advancement is in our culture, very much so. But to me, it seems almost sporadic compared to the burden that a lot of women still carry in our society.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I deeply appreciate your struggle with the role of women in places where we're fighting, too, and whether or not our being there can make a difference. It's a deep question, certainly. So, and I don't think we've done a program that focuses exclusively on that aspect of those wars. So, to say nothing of places like Saudi Arabia, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kathy, we're on it. Thank you. Thanks for your call. Mike from Appleton. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, good morning. My suggestion would be it's related to healthcare. A hugely complicated issue, which nobody understands, including the people who pass it. So why not have a program with somebody who can come in and talk in a common sense way and say, okay, under the new possible law that's going to come out, if you make $30,000 a year and have four kids, this is what it's going to cost you. You make $75,000 a year and you got two kids, this is what's going to cost you. You make $500,000 a year, you can just hang up. You don't have to worry about it. Something along that line.
All right. I don't think we're there yet, though, are we, Mike? We don't know what we have yet.
Well, we're probably very close to it. So,
yeah.
I'd like to know. It all sounds good, but I'd like to know the bottom line. What is it going to cost me?
All right. I see your point. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Bye. Nancy from Minnesota. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, I thoroughly enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio, and thank you for your wide range of programs. The issue that I'd like to have looked at is education, but from a different perspective from what I've ever heard on any program. I know quite a few former teachers, and they love teaching, but they are no longer doing it, and the reasons that they left teaching have nothing to do with the finances. I wonder if there could be some studies or interviews of people that were highly qualified, loved teaching, did very well, but are no longer in the teaching field.
Why did your friends leave, Nancy?
I beg your pardon?
Why did your friends leave?
Well, for various reasons, but a lot of them said the children are not sent to school ready to learn. And they just didn't have time and energy to do all the other things required of them beside teaching.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. It's a good suggestion. Thank you, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
Glenn is calling from the state of New Jersey. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
I'd like to hear a debate with both advocates on together so no one gets to rebut without being rebutted on whether there is a conflict between being dedicated to what Islam prescribes and to what the U.S. Constitution requires. And I have some suggestions for who might participate in the debate.
Okay.
For the affirmative, it could be Robert Spencer, Andrew Bostom, Raymond Ibrahim, or Ibn Warraq. And for the negative, it could be John Esposito, Stephen Suleiman Schwartz, Ibrahim Hooper, or Karen Armstrong.
Wow. Where'd you get all these people?
From listening and reading.
Okay. All right. Do you have access to an email? Can you send me those names?
You betcha. I'll send it to talk@wpr.org.
No, send it to Rhonda. We'll let Rhonda, and you can CC me. It's Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G.
F-A-N-N-I-N-G. Uh-huh.
Right, at WPR.org. And then mine is Dunk, D-U-N-N-K, at the same place, WPR.org.
Okay, but should I send this to both?
Well, if you don't mind, you can just CC me.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, thanks, Glenn.
You're welcome, Kathleen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Uh-huh, bye.
Bye-bye.
Hans from Oregon. Hi, Hans.
Oh, hi. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like you to do shows on occupying our communities as non-motorists. Here's the thing I believe is that planet Earth isn't big enough. It doesn't have enough resources for everybody on Earth to sit on their rear end and drive everywhere.
Right.
And yet that's how most of us live in places like the Village of Oregon.
Mm.
And you can't begin to comprehend what we're going to have to do by reading a book, by going to a workshop, by watching a program. You have to get on the other side of the windshield and experience what it's like, how far we spread things apart, and how alien you feel when you're the only person, self-locomoted person out there, and everybody else is driving everywhere. It's hard to describe. You have to be out there to do it. And I think if having a show where you have people that talk about that.
How are you getting there? You're walking or you're biking or?
Well, let's put it this way. When I figured out it wasn't about WMD, I got really serious about biking. And I bike into Madison a lot. Usually when I come into Madison, I ride my bike. And it's about an hour trip.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, oh, my God, that's such a big deal. And, you know, it's like, well, 100 years ago, people used to walk 10 miles
right.
in a day. So what's the big deal? But it's a different world. It's a completely different. I mean, I it really hit me. It's like, I used to think Madison is 20 minutes, 15 minutes away. Well, that's an assumption based on I have a right to drive a car, there has to be a highway, there has to be a parking lot,
yes.
there has to be gasoline and energy. If I ride a bike, it's a lot of work, especially in the middle of winter.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't expect most people to do it, but if nobody tries, we're not going to see just how scattered we've made everything.
I know.
Isn't it everything
something?
Over the landscape, and you... And you know, I've gone to a lot of planning workshops and stuff and community, municipal meetings where people talk about planning and everybody's sitting around looking at maps. It's like, you're not going to get it in this room. You mm-hmm. have to get out there and look.
Mm-hmm.
Get on your feet and walk. You know, if you think this is some architect or designer will come and say, oh, this is a pedestrian-friendly community plan. Well, go out there and walk. Have the planning commission walk out there and say, in the middle of January, is this pedestrian-friendly or is this greenwashing?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm pretty passionate about this.
I always see your point. You know, I think about that almost every day, Hans, as I'm driving. Isn't it amazing how much of this country, and particularly the urban areas, they're all planned around cars? It just
they're not really
is amazing.
Urban. They're not. We haven't built living arrangements. We've built driving arrangements.
Right, exactly.
We don't even have living arrangements anymore in most places.
All right. Well, we'll explore this. There have
Thank
to be
you.
Places doing this differently. Thank you, Hans.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Goodbye.
Bye.
Daryl from Couderay. Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Have you had Jeff Charlotte on the air?
Maybe. What's Jeff all about?
He wrote a book titled The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power.
Oh, I saw him on TV the other night, Rachel Maddow's show.
And this family, they insist they are just a group of friends.
Right.
Yet they funnel millions of dollars through tax-free corporations. They claim to disdain politics, but congressmen of both parties describe them as the most influential religious organization in Washington.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I didn't know anything about them until I saw that. Rhonda and I talked about getting the book and having the author on the show. So
yeah, they say they're not Christians, but simply believers. And behind the scenes at every national prayer breakfast is what they hold on a weekly basis since 1953 has been the family, an elite network dedicated to a religion of power for the powerful.
Have you read the book, Daryl?
Yes, I have it in my hand.
All right, great. Thank you for reminding me. We'll
thank
be
you
on
very
it.
Much.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Really good open line today. We're getting some good suggestions. Mary Sue from West Bend. Hi.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
I would like to suggest Anna Baltzer. Baltzer, who wrote a book called Witness in Palestine, a journal of a Jewish American woman in the occupied territories.
Okay.
Anna is she's just 30 years old now, and she was a Fulbright scholar and a volunteer for the International Women's Peace Service in Palestine, and she's been making frequent trips there for several years now. She first went in 2003 when she was a Fulbright scholar and teaching in Turkey, and she went to discover for herself the realities of daily life for Palestinians under the occupation, and then she ended up writing this book, Witness in Palestine. And she has visited our area several times. I've attended a couple of her lectures and slide presentations, and she's just a fascinating young woman and a wealth of information and very, very passionate about the whole issue. I think she'd make a wonderful guest.
She sounds like it, Mary Sue. Thank you.
Would you like an email for her?
Yes, but can you send me an email with the email?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? All right, you've got our address.
You.
Thanks, Mary
Bye-bye.
Sue. Uh-huh. Marty from Douglas County. Hi, Marty.
Hi, good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
Cookie Monster, what a great way to start the day.
Wasn't it fun?
I agree, chocolate chip cookies can't be beat. Absolutely. I'm just finishing a book called Playing the Enemy, Nelson Mandela and the Game That Made a Nation by John Carlin, C-A-R-L-I-N.
Okay.
He was actually interviewed, I think, by one of the, to the best of our knowledge, producers.
Oh,
last year, and I thought, that sounds like a great book, and thank goodness our book club's reading it this month.
Oh, great.
We all know that Nelson Mandela was an amazing human being. The other gentleman they talk about in this book, who I think really kept the violence from completely tearing the country apart, was a guy I never heard of, Conrad Vilhon, I think is how you pronounce his last name.
Hmm.
Anyway, it's a really good overview of what South Africa was going through while Mandela was in the last few years of his prison term. After he was released from prison, the election, the country was just blacks and whites on both extremes, left and right, were killing each other, as we all remember, and it was rugby that brought the nation together.
Oh.
It's an amazing book, and it's just an incredible story, and I just think this guy would be
fabulous. Okay, that's great. And didn't Mandela have a birthday last week, or do I remember that?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
I think he had it 93 or 91 or something like that.
Oh, boy. Well,
somebody will let us know.
Happy birthday, Nelson Mandela, if that's true.
Right. Thank you, Marty.
Yeah,
great suggestions. Mm-hmm. We're having an open line this hour of the program, and that means suggestions for programs that you'd like to have on the air. Here's the number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655 for you to join the conversation. And those email addresses I'll give you again, because you're always welcome if you can't get through today to send emails to Rhonda and me. Rhonda's address is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G at WPR.org, and you should send it to both of us. Mine is Dunk at WPR.org. Okay. Well, our lines are all filled right now, but they'll be open soon, so just keep listening and you'll get through, and we're having a good open line. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, back to phone calls. Chris from Madison. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to give a suggestion about health and nutrition, and especially in the United States, we have such a problem with obesity and childhood diabetes. And I think that people just don't understand the effects of poor nutrition on health. And I think it would be a good topic to explore. There's so many resources and information out there. But in terms of just good education on health and nutrition,
and
my suggestion.
Okay. And how to conquer obesity. Good suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Mary from Columbus. Hi.
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 Kathleen, I have a suggestion, and I think it's something that you have a lot of experience in and are very good at. I'm a board member of a newly formed Columbus Area Endowment, a community foundation. And how do you get the courage to do the ask? I'd like to have a program on community foundations, and
I guess
that topic.
All right. You just believe in what you're saying, and you got to do it. You're right.
I know.
You have to do it. What's the foundation?
Well, on community foundations and what they can do for a community. I know I'm on the week. I'm on the monthly plan for your organization, and I guess I would like to. I believe in community foundations, and I'd like to have a program on that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mary.
Okay.
Bye. We go to Jolene from Ashland. Hi, Jolene.
Hello.
Hi.
I was hoping to hear something about, I heard just secondhand that last week there was a very large oil spill, bigger than the Valdez, over by Australia, but I have yet to hear any more about it.
Yeah,
I was hoping you guys would cover that, since it's not on any of the news programs. It was only on just right when it happened, and that was it.
I didn't hear much about it at all. I don't remember hearing about it. Okay.
It was last Tuesday or Wednesday.
All right, last Tuesday or Wednesday. Do you think maybe it wasn't substantial and that's why there wasn't a follow-up, or was it substantial?
Possibly. I know many times our news programs just don't cover anything that's not right around our home area.
Right. Okay, Jolene. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Brian from Madison. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Brian.
I'm a healthcare worker, and I serve a lot of homeless veterans. And something that's been a great boon to my practice in the past years is the work of Dr. Stephen Porges at the University of Illinois Chicago, and he's done a bunch of research into, I guess, a biological perspective on traumatic experience and how that gets held in the body, and really borne out be very practical and useful in my work with vets who have PTSD.
Interesting. What's his name again, Brian?
Dr. Stephen Porges, P-O-R-G-E-S.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's very fascinating work, and kind of on the leading edge of some of these understandings of our neurology.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been working with homeless vets?
I guess about 5 years now.
I was so struck when those figures, I know them, but when you hear them again, the number of homeless people in this country who are veterans is so high, isn't it?
Right, 130,000, I think, is the most recent number I've heard. And, it's, you know, everywhere I go, it's constantly present and breaks my heart all the time.
Oh, I'm sure it does. You may want to send us an email about the work you're doing as well, Brian.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for your call.
Yep.
Art from Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi. Next week, speaking in Madison and Marquette and at UWM and in Racine is a person named Elvis Fernandez Levy. He's born in Cuba.
Hello? We lost your signal there, Art. You'll have to call back. It's just not there. Ruth from Waukesha. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for putting me on. I would like to suggest that you have a program on multiple chemical sensitivities. This is an illness that so many Americans, and not just in America, but around the world, are experiencing with modern chemicals that aren't tested and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a speaker that I would suggest for this as well, Dr. Pamela Reed Gibson. She's with the University in Virginia, and she has devoted her life to research on this. She's written a book to help people. It's a guidebook for people. But this is an issue that is just not getting media representation at all, and it's more widespread than people would realize, because there's more people with chemical sensitivities to one level or another than there are people with diabetes. And because we don't have a pink pill or whatever for this condition, it gets absolutely no media attention.
Right. And what's she's at the University of Virginia?
She is with the, I can't recall, I should have it right in front of me, but I'm out on the road, so I don't have it. But if you Google Dr. Pamela Reed Gibson, you'll find it very easily.
All right, Ruth. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Bye. Mm-hmm. Jordan is next from Marengo. Hi, Jordan.
Hi. Thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, my son was stopped on the roadside for a crooked front license plate, held by the roadside for 25 minutes with no explanation. The cops show up with the drug dog. Dog alerts on car. Cops tear car apart. No drugs are found. My son says, what happens in the case of a false positive? And all three cops at the same time, Ashland County Sheriff, said, there's no such thing as a false positive. The dog is infallible. Well, if the dog's been trained by a human being, how can the dog be infallible? You know, and so the salient point would be then one of the cops told him, if anyone who's ever sat in your car had a joint in their pocket, the dog will alert. All right, now how does that translate into probable cause for search and seizure then? So I'd like to have you guys do a show on the effectiveness of drug dogs and see if there's a pro and a con there, and what is it actually doing to our Fourth Amendment rights for protections against unreasonable searches and seizures.
So what happened to your son's car? Did they give him money to put it back together?
Nope.
Really?
Nope. Hmm. And we did check a lawyer, and my son had just turned 18. If he had still been a minor, I would have insisted that we carried forth with a constitutional lawsuit against the Ashland Sheriff Department, but since he had just been freshly 18, I left the ball in his court, and he decided he didn't want to feel like he had a target on his back. And I know my children very well. They're not involved in drugs at all. I mean, I recognize, you know, the symptoms of marijuana
right.
intoxication, and they're straight-A students. They're, you know, his constitutional rights were totally trampled on, so... That's my suggestion.
Okay, thank you, Jordan, for the call.
Thank you.
Tom from Rhinelander, hi.
Yes, hi, Kathleen. Over the spring and summer of this year, there was a story that came to light about wealthy corporations and individual citizens holding accounts outside of the country. I think it involved the UBS. And the story kind of lost traction. There was an amnesty program, I believe, but I don't know whatever happened to it. And I wondered if you could get a investigative reporter from the New York Times or Washington Post who might have been following that story that could give us an update on what occurred.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Open line is what we're having this hour. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And if you'd like to send Rhonda and me emails, you can do that. Her address is Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G at WPR.org. Mine is Dunn-K at WPR.org. We're also on Facebook now. Not that we want you to use that necessarily for suggestions, but if you want to sort of join this online thing that's so much a part of our world, you can go to wpr.org/Kathleen Dunn for our link, or you can go to WPR and maneuver your way to our site by looking at the list of names who have sites. We all do, actually. And then share whatever you'd like to share with us. We were asking today, because we were celebrating the first hour of the show, the 40th anniversary of Sesame Street. So we were asking that you share your favorite memories there. But we can share a lot of things on Facebook, because that's what it's all about, right? Back to phone calls. Travis from Appleton, hello.
Hi. I would like to hear a show about Buell motorcycles that recently went out of business because of the economic climate. Eric Buell in East Troy, he made motorcycles for 26 years after being part of Harley-Davidson. I think it would be a great show.
Okay, and what would we talk about?
Eric Buell was a pioneer when it came to engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a rebel. He did things his own ways. And if you could get someone from the factory, it would be fabulous.
Okay, and they just didn't have enough business?
Right. They were bought up by Harley-Davidson in 2003, and Harley-Davidson has not been doing well, and they finally closed down the East Troy plant this past November.
Oh. So have you been able to find another kind of business?
No, not to my knowledge.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it, Kathy.
Jeff is next. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to hear a show about how much violence, rape, and terror there is in the United States, starting with New York, Milwaukee, Madison, comparable to Pakistan or Iraq. How many deaths are there, you know, every night? You know, how many rapes are there? You know, stuff like that.
Oh, well, we'll have to talk about what we're doing about it as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you for your call.
Sure.
Open line is what's happening. Program suggestions for the future here. We also are looking for more suggestions for future health care reform topics. We have been on that every week for a number of months now, and I think they've been a valuable part of the discussion about healthcare reform. So if you have any suggestions along those lines, how about people who have read great books that we have? We had some of those suggestions the first half hour, some really tremendous reading that people had done that they'd like to share the authors with a wider audience, or topics that are important to you that would best be discussed on Wisconsin Public Radio, particularly on these hours. We'd like to hear from you. And believe me, you have given us some absolutely wonderful suggestions. More phone calls in a moment. 800-486-8655 is the number. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Returning to your phone calls, we go to Robert from Lake City. Hello, Robert.
Hi. Good morning. Well, one of the things that I know a lot of people get frustrated about is the balanced look at the Palestine situation. And I have a speaker that I know very, very well. His name is Robert Norberg from Lake City, Minnesota. But he is chairman of the board of directors for an organization called the Americans for Middle East Understanding.
Okay.
And he is very good. He spent 17 years in Saudi Arabia with Aramco. So he knows the Middle East very well.
Okay. And you, if we Google that, Americans for Middle East Understanding, we could find him?
Well, actually, he's a long way from Washington. He goes there periodically, but he lives in Lake City.
Uh-huh.
And I think we can find his number. I could probably give it to someone offline, if that's okay. His phone number in Lake City.
All right. Do you have a computer?
Do I?
Yeah.
Yes.
Could you send it to via that? Because John's answering phones here, so it's hard for him to...
Okay.
Okay? So we'll ask you to do that.
Okay, I'll do that.
Thank you, Robert.
Bye-bye.
And Art is with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Art.
Hi. I'm sorry, my phone died before, so I don't know how much got on before. But next week there's a speaker who's head of one of the leading Cuban-American organizations named Delvis Fernandez Levy. He was born in Cuba, came to the U.S. as a Ph.D. from Berkeley, and he's going to be, he's from a Jewish family, so he's going to be speaking on the Jewish diaspora related to the Cuban diaspora, what it means for current issues in terms of immigration and, of course, U.S. policy towards Cuba. The Congress is going to be voting later this year, hopefully, on a possible repeal of the travel ban to Cuba, and it has a reasonable chance of passing. And he's speaking at UWM in Milwaukee Tuesday night, at the Pyle Center in Madison on Wednesday night, at Marquette Thursday night, and at Racine Siena Center. So if you would be able to put him on one of those mornings, he's written a major piece on social work in Cuba compared to their society, how social work applies compared to social work in this country, as well as on the revival of Jewish culture and identity in Cuba. So... he'd be a real expert for people who want to hear any kind of information about aspects of Cuba and U.S. policy. His name is Delvis Fernandez Levy, L-E-V-Y, and he could be reached. The organization he heads is the Cuban American Alliance Educational Fund, and I can send an email to Rhonda with other information.
Great. Thanks, Art.
Okay. Thanks so much. Bye.
Yeah, bye. Paul from Monona. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah. Actually, as I had said to the screener, there's a kind of a movement or a group of people that is kind of global and local as far as the Madison area, the kind of Sustainable Practices, Natural Step, Monona Group, and Sustain Dane. And they address a couple of different topics that you had discussed. Well, one would be when the gentleman called about biking, and you know, that would be direct health benefits, you know, less traffic on the road, that sort of thing, and so less cost for infrastructure, too. And then as far as the concerns about food supply and, you know, childhood obesity and, you know, sort of ties in with that, too, sustainability and farming practices, the kind of Michael Pollan-type stuff where, you know, a box of cereal has what percentage of sugar, you know, which is up in the 60-70%, and I think a lot of people would be shocked, even if it has a check mark on the front that says it has some fiber, you know. So I think if you checked into Dr. Heinrich Robert, who is someone who has spoken at the university, and he had written this book with a couple of other people called The Natural Step, and in Monona we participate in these study groups in Monona, and they'll have these Green Tuesdays that address various topics, and one was, as it pertains back to the bicycling, a website that actually rates, you put your address in, and it rates your walk and, you know, gives it in a percentage. So if you live in an area where there's a grocery store right by you and whatever else, that's, you know, something you could walk to, your walk would be 70-80%. Well, at my address, it's like 60% in Monona, and some places are car dependent. So when you talk about, you know, areas out in the country that are kind of totally car dependent, you know, well, then that's when you start having sustainability issues. So
okay,
that's what I'd suggest.
What's the guy's name again?
Dr. Heinrich Robert. It's actually something that they created in Sweden, this natural step process.
Uh-huh.
And my understanding of hearing him speak is he was a cardiac surgeon, or is, and he used that team concept of, you know, bringing in many people to address an issue. And
right.
So he got stuck on sustainability and started to think about ways you could do it. And it's
right.
Sort of like with the Michael Pollan thing, where he sort of shifts the way you look at things, and is like, you know, he has just a different way of looking at it, where it's like, oh, man, that really makes sense.
And,
so,
Paul, how do you spell his last name?
If I'm sorry, but I guess again, if you Googled it, it'd be Heinrich Robert, and it's sort of a Swedish type name with I don't know, you'd have to Google it.
All right,
but
well,
if you Googled The Natural Step,
right.
I'm sure you'd get right to it.
All right, thanks, Paul, very much. Interesting suggestion. Let me finish writing this down. The Natural Step. All righty, 800-486-8655. Bill from Milwaukee. Hi. Hello, Bill.
Hi. I'd like to suggest that you have me on as a guest at some point. I'm a local boy, and I've got a book that's been published internationally in West America and in Spain and South America, and it's soon to come out in China.
I'm sorry, what's it about?
And the name of the book is Miracles Made Possible, and it teaches people how they can get any miracle they want whenever they want it.
Right. How in the world would we do that?
Well, that's the whole point of interviewing me.
I know, but you got to give me more than that.
Well,
how do you do it?
Give me an example. My best friend from my college days 40 years ago, his baby granddaughter died of an E. coli infection, and we brought her back to life a half an hour later. And I've helped 7 people be cured of incurable cancer overnight. And one had brain cancer, and no one survives brain cancer, and he came back. His cancer disappeared overnight. He was over at Frederick Hospital.
Uh-huh.
My own father got oat cell cancer, which is the worst kind of cancer. It's also called small cell cancer. The doctor gave him 3 weeks to live, and we got him a miracle, and he lived 9 more years.
So you've written a book about this, or...?
Yes. And I've got hundreds of examples in the book, and it's been sold nationally through the bookstores and, like I say, in South America and Spain as well, and soon to come out in China. But it gives people an understanding of how to get a miracle that anybody can get for themselves.
All right. I'm a little skeptical, but if you'd like to send me the book, we'd look at it.
Sure. I'd be happy to send
you the
book.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Bill. Jerry from Green Bay. Hi.
Hi. My topic that I wish you would spend some little time on is the prevalence and growing concern about celiac disease. It's also called gluten intolerance. My son has been gluten intolerant for probably 8 years now, and at first we didn't know what was going on. All wheat, rye, barley, oats, and everything derived from it. You basically have to read every label on every product you buy once you learn what to look for it by the test. But his symptoms improved, and they will live a fine, normal life, but it has to be gluten-free.
Mm-hmm.
There is more labeling laws now. You'll see more things labeled gluten-free, but, you know, it's not quite as prevalent like as in Great Britain, where I heard they have whole aisles in grocery stores, just gluten-free aisles. But I guess my point is the awareness of it. If you're having gastrointestinal problems, you don't know what else it might be, you might want to ask your specialist about gluten intolerance. And even though it's a hard diet to live by, you can't do it. And it was a big help to my son, who has been gluten-free for some years. So that's my comment.
Suggestion. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for your call. Chris from Eau Claire. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Something I'd like to bring more awareness to that I think would benefit everybody is the damaging effects of runoff that we're receiving from our land and our streets that's getting into our beautiful streams and rivers and lakes and creating so many of the problems that we hear about on the news and such. And what we can do as individuals, you know, from our houses to you know, the products that we buy that can reduce those chemicals getting into our groundwater and our lakes and our streams. There's an individual that's based out of Seattle, Washington, or by the Puget Sound area. His name is Paul Stamets. He's a mycologist that's come up with a brilliant way of filtering out these contaminants that do end up in the runoff, and catching them before they go out into our lakes and streams. What he's done basically is he has proven that if you run these runoff chemicals through mushroom mycelium or mold, he creates bags that filter out these pesticides and such before they get out into the streams, and has been having amazing results with it.
I missed his name here. Paul what?
Stamets, S-T-A-M-E-N-T-S, I believe, and he has a company called Fungi Perfecti.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great company, a great man. He's been doing some projects for the government. He decontaminated or won the bid to decontaminate a bunch of a diesel spill up in some forest land, old growth forest up in Washington. He basically uses oyster mushrooms mostly and the spawn of oyster mushrooms to decontaminate toxic material. Mushrooms grow on carbon, and if you can break down that carbon chain, it'll make those chemicals inert.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually, I believe, right now working with Department of Defense to decontaminate a lot of the nerve gas that they're having problems with in some of the shelters and such that's been leaking out. So, but his process of filtering out runoff is amazing and seems to be working for them. So,
all right. Thank you, Chris. Thanks very much for your call. Patricia from Portage, hi.
Hi. There is a huge disconnect between the Department of Natural Resources and the public that doesn't kill wildlife. And we really need to give it more attention when we're losing species and imbalancing nature the way we are. There is a public election. I would like to have someone on from the DNR talking about how they're going to expand the annual public election that's been there for 75 years. It's only attended by hunters and trappers who control nature in our state for killing at a time when we are losing species, where they are overkilling a lot of species, and the public, because the outdoors pages, I'd also like to hear from the newspapers why the outdoors pages are all about killing and not educating the public how to be involved.
And what species are you worried about, Patricia?
Oh, you name it. Sharp-tailed grouse, they issued 376 licenses last year. in the whole state, and they could only find 40 birds, and they killed them. Mm. They doubled the trapping season on bobcats. They're doing a year-round coyote kill. They're killing natural predators to produce more game animals, and it's not scientific. And the problem isn't just that they're doing harm. It's that they're not focused on, for example, we're down from 3 million acres of prairie in the state to 13,000 acres. There's no focus on restoring balance and helping, you know, nature. It's all about, it's a killing business, and it's a self-proclaimed killing business, and it shouldn't be, not now. You know, that was the way it was 100 years ago, and it worked okay, I guess, but we're in a different situation, and it's a crime against the citizens of this state that they don't know about a public election, that they don't know how the political process works so that they can have input. We have 2.3 million wildlife watchers in Wisconsin who have zero power, and they bring 10 times as much money to the state and local tax coffers and have zero power and really are kept ignorant by the stranglehold that hunters and trappers have on nature in our state. And
all right,
wrong.
Patricia. All right, thank you very much for your call. It'll be an interesting show. Thank you. Lou from Milwaukee, hi.
All right. Earlier, I think I heard you asking about that wet oil rig leaking off Australia.
Mm-hmm.
If you want any additional information, it's the West Atlas Rig, Montana oil platform in the Timor Sea off West Australia. It's been leaking for 2 months.
2 months?
Yeah, and I think it's about, I think the leak is about 2,000 feet down. They attempted to plug it with mud unsuccessfully.
Huh. So it still keeps leaking?
It's still leaking.
Yeah. All right.
They can't stop it.
Hmm. All right. Thank you very much for the call, Lou.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, Black River Falls. Hi.
Hi. I would like to hear a show and hear some physicians speak on the increased incidence in diagnosis of type 1 diabetes in young children.
Okay.
And specifically, sometimes there's a geographic nature to pockets of diagnoses, and I would be interested in knowing more about whether that means it's an environmental thing or a viral thing or what exactly dictates the geographic pockets of it, and also what the new and latest and greatest and most positive treatments are for young pediatric patients, in particular with type 1 diabetes.
All right, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the call. Ryan from Madison. Hi.
Hi. I would like to hear a program about the Federal Reserve, and specifically who exactly is involved with the Federal Reserve, where that money is coming from. I understand it's a conglomeration of some of the richest people in the world. I don't know what that means. I don't know if they're American or if they're Saudi Arabian or if there's a possible link between Federal Reserve funds and Osama bin Laden, possibly, or where exactly, who is the Federal Reserve?
Federal Reserve funds and Osama bin Laden? I'm not sure what you're talking about there.
Well, from my understanding, the Federal Reserve is a conglomeration of the richest people in the world, or some of them. So who are these people? I mean, the Federal Reserve isn't federal, right? I mean, it's not an American corporation or company or bank or anything like that.
Well, I know somebody wrote a book recently about the Federal Reserve that we'll look into. I don't know if somebody's done a show on this. I think Ben may have done a show on this, but we'll look into that book because I know there was one around that was fairly popular. So thank you very much for the call. I am going to Nathan, is it, from Fond du Lac?
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
I have a show idea. Maybe you could do one on free running or le parkour and how it's cropping up more in the mainstream media and kind of the back history of it.
Of what?
Interesting show.
I missed what you said here. Of what?
Free running. Or it's also called le parkour. It comes from
a suburb of Paris. It's French, the idea.
What is it?
It's this way of efficiency of moving through mostly urban environments where you go basically in a straight line and you go over all the obstacles and it cuts your time down, and it's about being efficient and staving off injuries, I guess.
All right, send us information on it. I don't know anything about that at all. Our address is, again, Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, at WPR.org. Mine is Dunn, K, at WPR.org. We're also on Facebook now, so you can go to WPR.org/Kathleen Dunn or go to WPR and look for our name in the list of the programs and the people. Click on that, and you can figure out how you can join the show and the conversation. Rubber ducky. I'm gonna go record that song now and play it and listen all afternoon. Did I thank John Treader? Thank you, John Treader. Thank you, Rhonda Fanning, for producing the show. Thanks for listening. And that's it for today. On the